Second case, the Morgan versus the City of Chicago. Okay, Mr. Satt.
May it please the court. I'm Gary Sacks. I represent, of course, the appellants on this appeal. Your Honors, after a two-day trial in which both sides had the opportunity to and did present all of the evidence they wished to show what happened and to establish their respective positions, the district court found that the damage to the submarine cables in the amount of $625,000 was a result of the negligence of the City of Chicago in failing to maintain their bridge by putting a piece of wood over the slot where the submarine cables were located. The piece of wood, of course, was the bridge fender protection system that was designed to absorb the expected common contact of barges that would slide along that fender protection system that would serve to protect both the barges, the bridge, and in this case, the submarine cables. The portion of the fender system that covered and protected the submarine cables had been missing since 1994, known to the city, and their explanation that they didn't replace it because it wasn't a priority and it wasn't of concern didn't pass legal muster. So the court found that approximate cause of the damage to those cables was their failure to maintain their bridge, and had the timber system been in place, there wouldn't have been any damage. Now, the city didn't appeal that negligence, and indeed they admit that in their brief on appeal. The court also concluded that Kendra was not guilty of any specific acts of negligence, yet Kendra was found 50% at fault because the court believed that it was presumptively at fault. The city likewise didn't appeal the finding of no specific negligence against Kendra. The finding of 50% presumptive negligence as compared to 50% actual negligence is the point that we think the district court erred and this matter should be reversed. Because, in the first place, we don't believe that the presumption even applied to this case, so that there was no illusion in the legal sense, so the presumption wasn't triggered. Even if it was rebutted by the evidence that all the parties introduced, and surely it was rebutted by the finding of the district court that approximate cause of the damage was that of the City of Chicago in failing to maintain its bridge. And finally, there is no precedent that I know of. The court didn't cite any, the city didn't cite any, and I haven't found any, where in the context of this case, the structure can be found specifically negligent of failing to maintain the bridge, yet on the other hand, must also be presumptively at fault. And that problem is underscored when it comes time to compare negligence. I don't know how you can compare negligence, particularly under this circuit's cost avoidance analysis, when you've got one party specifically negligent and another party presumptively negligent, because you don't know what fault there is to compare. Now, with respect to the presumption, that comes from the Supreme Court case of the Oregon. And it's well known that when a moving vessel strikes a stationary object, there's a presumption of negligence. The problem is that there are some structures that are designed for contact, certainly a bridge fender protection system is one of those structures that are designed to absorb contact.
But here, wasn't a situation where didn't the mechanical failure lead to the crew losing control of the barge, and the barge hit the bridge at an acute angle? I mean, even if the wood wasn't there. I mean, the beam wasn't there to protect. But these electrical cables were set back. So So normally a barge that would go through, even without the wood piece being there, just kind of going through, wouldn't be any problem. The problem was a mechanical failure, so it actually hit at an acute angle and hit it even though it was recessed.
That is not particularly true. The court said specifically that the court made a
But when you look at the photos, you can see, I've looked at the photos, the cables are set back. You
no, I'm not,
set back.
I'm not arguing that it wasn't at an angle. What I'm saying is the court found that it was foreseeable that vessels would slide along at an angle and would reach those submarine cables. Now, if under the Arkansas River case is really a case that is pretty much in point factually. There a vessel lost an engine, a mechanical failure. It landed against a bridge protection system. As it was sliding through, as the system was designed for it to do, damage occurred to the bridge because it was in disrepair. The bridge, just like the city of Chicago, said, aha, the vessel is presumptively at fault for striking a stationary object. And the court said, no, when a structure is designed for contact, and that contact isn't more than the minimal expected contact, then we don't, in the legal sense, have an elision. The presumption is not applicable. And in our case, there's no doubt that the impact was minimal. We weren't going more than a mile an hour, and the court's words, creeping along next to nothing, and there was no damage to the bridge protection system, no damage to the bridge structure, no damage to the barge. The only damage was when we slid into the slot because it wasn't protected. But even if you were to say the presumption applied, a presumption, as was carefully explained by Judge Posner in the Roddy Yacht case, it's really nothing except an aid to a trier of fact in the absence of negligence. And once parties present present evidence, there's no need for a presumption. It evaporates. And that's what took place here. And Judge Easterbrook and I and Link Railway said that once evidence is presented, a district court is required to make a finding free from a reliance on any presumptions.
But, Mr. Sachs,
yes, sir.
What do you point to suggest in the finding that there was no more than the incidental contact, or that's all that there was, incidental contact?
The finding was finding number 109. Now, even if this presumption is viewed in the more stringent test, which I don't believe is accepted by this circuit, that we had to prove that the elision was the cause of the negligence of the bridge, that's exactly what the court found. Remember, it wasn't the elision with the bridge that caused the damage. It was the elision with the cables that caused the damage, which the court said would not have occurred had the city made the simple, routine, minor repair. So the presumption was either didn't apply or it was rebutted. And once that occurs, then the city's then we can't be liable unless the court found us negligent, and the court did not find us negligent.
Well, didn't the court find in defining the issue of liability focus its inquiry on the proximate cause of the injury to the bridge cable and found that the malfunction of the winch system created a presumption of fault?
It what it said was,
and you know, even though they had worked in the morning, there's no reason that you provided as to why they failed, which then caused the elision.
What the court said, Your Honor, was that when there's a mechanical failure, that alone is an inference of fault, and I agree with that.
But then the court further find that the crew of the Morgan did not respond reasonably to the winch failure, which caused the Morgan to lose the ability to steer the barge, which then caused the angle.
We can go on to that point. The winch point didn't rise to negligence, and the court didn't so find because they'd been physically inspected weekly. Before they started that morning, they were checked from the pilot house. They were moved twice that, they were used twice that morning without any problems.
Well, didn't the judge also find that the crew could have communicated better, drawn in the cable earlier, and didn't the judge determine that even if the failure couldn't have been prevented, the response was negligent?
Okay, let's talk about that. The court talked about the plugging of the button to bring in the starboard winch. Finding number 105, he said it might have restored tension. He didn't say it would have restored tension. And with respect to the tying up of the bow, along with the granting of the dogging of the winch, he said it was ineffective. But in the very next paragraph, he said he didn't find negligence. And that's because, first of all, it doesn't rise to negligence. Second of all, their actions were done in extremis, in an emergency situation. But, Your Honor, let's look at comparative negligence, which I think underscores the error the court made. Under the National Gypsum case, that I think you were on the panel, Judge Flom, the court said you have to compare relative fault. And in our circuit, you compare relative fault by using the cost avoidance system. What would the cost be to avoid the accident by your negligence as compared to the reasonable cost of what the damage would be without the avoidance? Now, we know that putting a piece of board over there would cost next to nothing as compared to $625,000. There is no way you can compare presumptive fault by using that analysis because you don't know what the fault is.
And the court made no findings concerning the relative cost of presenting the accident.
The court did, but the stipulated facts that are part of the appendix, the parties specifically stated in I think it's fact number 27 that the cost would be insubstantial, not major, and routine. We don't have an exact figure, but you didn't have an exact figure in National Gypsum either, Judge Flom, and you had no problem in reallocating in that case. We ask that the court reverse the judgment because the court legally erred in finding presumptive negligence after finding no negligence. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Is there Anthony?
May it please the court. The district court found that the elision between the barges being pushed by the Morgan and the city's bridge and cable was caused by the failure of the Morgan's starboard winch, which was the only piece of equipment the Morgan had to secure nearly 5,000 tons of barges and cargo. Kindra is completely unable, even now today, to explain why this critical piece of equipment did not work. And for that reason, the district court properly presumed that Kindra was negligent. This morning I will explain why that finding is not clearly erroneous, and I will also explain why the district court's apportionment of 50% of the fault to each side was also not clearly erroneous.
Can you maybe start with that last argument, because the court certainly doesn't spell out that apportionment and why he chose the 50-50.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, the Kindra certainly did not ask the district court to make any findings regarding the relative cost of avoidance. That argument is waived, as we explain in the brief. Furthermore, and certainly Kindra doesn't deserve the benefit of a remand to put in that evidence now when it didn't bother to do so beforehand. Beyond that, as far as we can tell from this record, the evidence that is presented does show that any failure to apply this test, if it even is the test, was harmless error.
Well, but again, to get back to my question, the court never spelled out why it was a 50-50 apportionment in terms of damages.
Well, it certainly spent most of its opinion describing the causes of the accident,
right.
Your Honor.
And it explained why they were negligent. I understand that, and why the city was negligent. I'm talking about the specific finding in terms of the percentage of comparative fault. The court doesn't specifically lay that out.
It doesn't specifically say why it chose 50% for each party. However, it's certainly easy to see why it did, and it's certainly not clear error to have assigned the fault equally. In this case, both parties' negligence came together to cause the city's damages, and certainly the city has accepted that finding against it, as Kendra points out, by not cross-appealing. And it's certainly fair to put the remainder of the blame on Kindra, who lost control of its equipment equipment failed and caused it to lose control of what it was towing and push it straight into the bridge, which, of course, was not moving. The district court applied the Oregon presumption, which, of course, is properly viewed as a common sense conclusion. When common sense tells you that this is just not the kind of accident that would happen absent negligence, without an appropriate explanation from the defendant, the district court is compelled to infer negligence, and that is exactly the situation that happened here. There's a wholly unexplained equipment failure that caused the Morgan to lose control of 5,000 tons of barges and cargo, and this was the only piece of equipment that was serving that purpose. This constituted a powerful circumstantial case of negligence that Kindra simply failed to meet. The district court was compelled to conclude that the winch failure occurred simply because of negligence. A winch is not insignificant. As I've mentioned, it's the only thing that's holding the tow to the tugboat. It's so important that if, as Kindra insinuates, this can just happen without negligence, then there would be a backup or redundant winch system, and that's certainly not the case. These pieces of equipment are so important that common sense dictates that they would require excellent maintenance and frequent inspections, and therefore they will not frequently fail absent negligence. Without any explanation for why the winch broke, the district court was compelled to find that it occurred because of negligence on the part of Kindra. After the district court's apportionment of fault, as I mentioned, the court weighed Kindra's sole responsibility for losing control of its barges with the city's sole responsibility for not properly maintaining its fenders, and properly apportioned 50% to each side. This makes perfect sense on these facts. The inaction or action of both sides equally came together. What Kindra seeks is to be exonerated simply because the city played a role in its own damages, but there is no basis in the law for this result. And as we explained in our brief, the district court's judgment clearly of 50% to each side clearly demonstrates that the district court did not feel that the cost of preventing or avoiding this accident would have been substantial to either side. Captain Long could have pressed the button earlier while John Kindra was walking back. They could have inspected the winches more frequently. The district court's finding simply reflects this common sense judgment. And unless there are any further questions from the court, we ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Thank you. Mr. Stack.
Your Honors, with all due respect to the city, we asked for exoneration because the court found the city negligent and did not find Kindra negligent of any specific act. The court erred by finding presumptive negligence after it found the city to be specifically negligent. The court did not find that the proximate cause of the elision with the cables was a mechanical failure. The court found that the proximate cause of the elision with the cables was the city's failure to put a piece of board over the slot. The argument that the court doesn't have to explain how it reached an apportionment, even if it had found specific negligence, which it didn't, is just dead wrong. National Gypsum makes it perfectly clear that the court must explain its reasons. And in that case, the Court of Appeals had all of the facts before it, and the Court of Appeals was able to apportion itself. We do not ask for a remand. We ask for an exoneration of our liability. We ask for an outright reversal. At the very least, we ask for a reapportionment by this court consistent with the analysis required by this circuit, which I must say is going to be impossible because we weren't found specifically negligent. Finally, this argument about waiver is just dead wrong. First of all, we cited the Brotherhood case to the court. The court mentioned it, but more than that, you can't waive a legal position or a legal proposition upon which the court itself ruled. In the city of Chicago's own case, in which someone tried to claim that the city of Chicago had waived a legal argument, this court said that's absolutely wrong. You don't ever waive legal arguments when you're attacking the legal basis of a decision. Their cases on that aren't in point. There was absolutely no waiver. Your Honors, this case needs to be reversed because one party was found negligent, one party wasn't found negligent, yet the party that wasn't found negligent was found 50% at fault. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under